Geekscapist. Once a Geekscapist, always a Geekscapist. We have a little bit of an alumni here in the Geekscape booth. We're talking about Inverse's own superstar. Think of us like the G League. If Inverse is the Europe. You thought I was going to say the NBA. You're FIBA. No, I'm kidding. Inverse is a great site. Inverse gets huge numbers, huge coverage, and there's a writer over there who gets his quotes on most posters. His name is Eric Francisco, and he's sitting here right here with us. And he actually got his start at Comic-Con by going to lunch with me and my friend Blake Harris and saying, yeah, I just graduated from Rutgers, looking to see what I want to do next. I want to be a writer. And Jonathan said, come write for us at Geekscape. And he's right here, and he's going to tell us what he's seen, what he's experienced. And welcome back, dude.
Jonathan, thank you so much for having me back. Man, I don't know. You have to believe me when I say I'm actually very emotional being on the Geekscape podcast right now. Because you guys did get me my start. I got my degree on my own, but you guys still gave me my real like byline.
I made some calls for your degree, though. I made some calls to Rutgers. I was like, this guy right here. I love that we're starting day five of the Geekscape podcast at Comic-Con with just the Geekscape standard ball busting. Geekscape, I hope you've been enjoying the last couple of days, but go ahead, sorry.
No, it doesn't mean a lot because, again, like 7 years ago, I don't know how much time has passed, 7 years ago or whatever. Yeah, I was here just trying to find my next thing, and then Jonathan came along, so thank you, Geekscape. I owe a lot. I owe a lot to Geekscape.
Dude, that means a lot to me. One thing that happened yesterday as well is Michael Sun, who now works in digital comics, digital app with a manga app that's super. It's the biggest manga app, and it's run with digital ads. It's like a Spotify for manga. They were nominated for an Eisner, and I saw them all dressed up in the hotel the other night. And Michael Sun's somebody who used to listen to Geek Drum, the podcast before Geekscape. And he got himself a new Geekscape Forever shirt. That's the old Geek Drum logo. And he's like, dude, I still remember being in high school and not caring about comics, listening to Geek Drum for the video game or movie content, and getting into comics. And now I work in comics. And some facet of his company is up for an Eisner. And he came back yesterday to get the Geekscape Forever shirt. And I was like, dude, that makes me so happy. How are you? And he's like, the Eisners are a very long show.
That's Comic-Con for you, man.
That is Comic-Con for you. It is a war. And some days are up, some days are down. But what are you going to do? You just have to weather it while getting broker and broker.
Absolutely. Yes. No. I mean, every time I charge a Lyft ride, it's like, yep, that's going to have to be expensing that. Like, thank God I'm on company dime here, to be honest with you.
Oh, totally. I don't know if I can expense the $100 Totoro statue I just bought, but... Damn well if I'm going to try.
I just spent maybe $60 on that. I'm pointing. You can't see in the Geekscape podcast, but I'm pointing towards a How I Met Your Mother print of the How I Met Your Mother characters as, like, superheroes done by Andy Park, who's actually, like, the Marvel Studios, like, visual director. Long story short, he did it as a wrap gift for the crew. I have my own print, and I spent, like, $60. That's like, ooh, that's my splurge for Comic-Con.
Not bad. I think if you keep your splurge to under $100, which I did by $2, I think that you can get out of here okay. Yeah. But I have not I've not checked out of the hotel yet. And we've been here a week. So Geekscape is... I've specifically been in this booth most of the time with Matt Kelly. So I'm going to ask you, what have you experienced? And also the Marvel stuff that we talked about on the podcast last night, the big Marvel reveal... I went home and watched the Wakanda Forever trailer. I watched the new She-Hulk trailer. What are your thoughts on the Marvel stuff? And also, like, what are you experiencing? I'm kind of throwing a lot at you at once.
Yeah, of course. All right. So, well, at Comic-Con, of course, I'm also here working. So I got to do some really cool one-on-one interviews. I got to talk to David Dastmalchian, the actor of from Suicide Squad.
Oh, I know who David is. We go to the same Starbucks. David used to throw tires in the park with me.
Really?
Yeah, David is a homie. And not only that, if you see his movie Animals that he shot about his drug addiction in Chicago, both George and I believe Geekscape, are thanked in the credits because we helped him get a studio space. We had a studio space back in the day. We let him use it for free to finish the movie. I don't think that specific sequence is in the movie, but David has always been so gracious. He doesn't want to come on Geekscape. No, he does want to come on Geekscape, but this is a man who's completely been in demand. I want him to come on for his comic book Count Crowley, which I love.
Great comic.
But, yeah, David is a hot I mean, after playing Polka Dot Man, he's the hot dude in Hollywood.
I wish I dropped your name during the conversation, because I had a lovely conversation with him about art and storytelling.
You would have had to say, he claims to know you. No
kidding. Other things, you know, I checked out, there's a couple cool activations here. The Gray Man's activation, bit of a long wait, but basically at the end of it, you come away with like a cool social video of you feeling like you're in an action movie. Very cool stuff. You basically run on top of a train while explosions are behind you. Cool stuff. House of the Dragon, there's this whole like ritual of like picking up an egg and dropping it in something and maybe you'll come out with the dragon. And then
what happens if you don't come out with the dragon? Do some people not come out with the dragon?
In my group, nothing came out. So the guy was just like, oh, sorry, you don't have any dragons.
What happens if you come out with the dragon? Because I think Katie went through it and maybe came out with the dragon. She didn't tell us.
I have no idea. No one in our like group, like you know, it's kind of like a theme park thing. You go in batches of people. No one came out with the dragon. So if someone came out with the dragon this weekend, I'd love to hear about it, because I have no idea what. But it also ends with another photo op on the Iron Throne, which is not, you know, still cool. Still works after, like, what, 10 years of that thing? So, yeah.
And I heard the Iron Throne is massive. Like, it is a mega Iron Throne version of what we saw. I mean, it's just bigger than what we saw in the show.
Maybe more accurate to the books, because in the books, not that I've really read Game of Thrones intensely, but to my understanding, the Iron Throne is actually, like, this huge freaking thing. It's actually like it's actually on like this huge like staircase, and then there's more swords than you know. They filmed it, they minimized it for the show practically, because you know it's hard to get that on camera, but supposedly the Iron Throne is a lot meant to be a lot bigger than we saw in the show.
Like, it takes up like an entire wall. Yeah. Almost
basically. Yeah,
it's a lot of murders, a lot of kingdoms overcome. Okay, so what else did you experience while you're walking around, and like what are some of the highlights that you've had?
Yeah, man. I mean, I'm not kidding here. Getting to hang out at the Geekscape booth again was a genuine highlight. You got to make some new friends, make connections. I got to speak to some people that Jonathan knows, and you know, it means something when people say, "Oh, you're a friend of Jonathan. I want to get to know you because you're a friend of Jonathan." Like, that was told to me at least 5 times in like the 1 hour I was hanging out at the Geekscape booth. So honestly, that was really cool. That Comic-Con remains the what makes Comic-Con special still, even now, after all the commercializing, is that you're still going to meet amazing people, and that's always wonderful. Crunchyroll concert. I'm going to shout that one out.
Crunchyroll's around the corner from us, right? Yeah. I have not visited them.
It's at the new Radishell. Yeah, they held 2 nights of concerts. The first one was a Japanese pop rock band that I cannot pronounce the name of, but they were wonderful. They're a 4-piece group. They're a mix of like a J-pop singers, but their music is more rock based. They basically dress up in like, you know, stereotypical Japanese schoolgirl outfits. They each have like a distinct personality, and they're just great. High energy, high amazing stuff. I met some great people there. We became like a clique that night, and when we saw the concert, our minds melted. Yesterday there was a Dragon Ball Z concert, an orchestra. Basically, it's, you know, think of your typical like Howard Shore performance of Lord of the Rings or whatever, but just with the Dragon Ball franchise. And that was also a wonderful experience. Shout out to Crunchyroll for hosting such an amazing thing.
Okay, so I said we're gonna be talking Marvel, but I actually have to talk Marvel with Ian. Because you know that I talk Marvel on the show with Ian, so Ian's the guy who's going to talk Marvel with me. I'm going to introduce you to Ian right now.
Go for it.
But what is one last piece that you want to leave for the Geekscapists before I get Ian on here and pivot to him?
Crap, I got nothing.
No, but I was just going to say that it was maybe meeting the guys who wrote the 2016 Power Rangers movie, Matt and Burke, who were signing at the booth.
I don't know if I should name drop. I don't know.
You could totally name drop. I've been name dropping there. They've been on the podcast now this week, and we name dropped them all week. How great are those guys?
Okay, so some of the people I was referring to earlier was Matt and Burke. Amazing people. I'm so glad I got to meet them. Very good humor about the performance of the Morbius movie, but yes, they also screenwrote the Power Rangers movie, and as if you don't know anything about me, you should know that I'm a Power Rangers nut. I did not pester them with like lore questions because I didn't want that impression on, but one day I'm going to email them being like asking about like the Zero Crystals and this and Lord Zed and all that stuff. But yeah, getting to talk to them on a movie that actually means a lot to me personally, like honestly, was a trip. So thank you, Jonathan, for making that happen.
Dude, what you said earlier about people like being vetted by being friends with them, that makes me feel really good, because just seeing you have a great time, Derek go out and experience things and have a good time, Katie, Caitlin, some of the people you've heard this week on the show, like just providing that stuff for you guys just means so much to me and justifies what we do here at Geekscape, building this community and saying Geekscape forever, which is like the new motto right now. It's the new shirt, it's the new motto. That's what I mean. Like, this is the rock that you guys can lean on that'll be here. And it may not be high quality. It's going to be very independent. But it'll also be sincere, and it'll be culture, and it'll be a nice community.
Honestly, I prefer this over all the polished stuff. The polished stuff is so informal, so dressed up, and you don't know if you're actually making a connection or not. When I meet people at the Geekscape booth, man, it's a real connection.
Dude, thanks, man. From one connection to another, I love you, man. You're like a kid brother, and I look out for you. You look out for me. Love you, man. Thank you so much.
Last thing, Jonathan, will you follow me on Twitter again?
If you don't post spoilers. Because I love you on Instagram, but you can't be posting three pictures of the new Peter Parkers before, like a week after No Way Home comes out. That's rude. But you heard about me and the kid with taking photos during Multiverse of Madness, posting them straight to Instagram, and how I almost got to find a theater.
Oh, wow.
And then the exact same kid was doing it again during Thor, and it was like insane. I told it on the podcast. If you all want to listen to the Multiverse of Madness special, spoiler. The same dude is doing the same bullshit, posting pictures straight from the screen during the movie to his Instagram. Spoiler scenes, like the Illuminati scene in Multiverse of Madness. And when I went, it's insane. You got to listen to the Multiverse episode and the Thor episode, Thor 4 episode, like, and you'll get the full story. It was nuts.
Oh, Jonathan, I forgot to mention one last thing. I'll say it very quickly. During the Sandman panel, someone asked a question wearing a Geekscape shirt.
Oh, we brought that up.
Okay.
Because Caitlin, after that panel, came here, and we discussed it, and that was some MVP shit, man. And you're the one who took the photo of her on screen wearing Don't Hate Create.
As soon as I saw it, I'm like, yo, what? So.
Yo, Geekscape's getting out there, dog. It's getting out there. Eric, thanks so much, dude. Let's introduce you to Ian. Let's get Ian in here. All right, Geekscapists, we got the guy who's going to break down the Marvel announcements from yesterday. If you haven't heard what went down, either go on Twitter or just listen to the previous day's worth of breakdown. They announced a lot of the detail. They announced all the details of Phase 5 and some of the big tentpoles of Phase 6, which is the Fantastic Four movie and the two Avengers movies. So they're doing the Infinity War Endgame deal again, but with the Kang saga and... We guessed it. Everybody guessed it. Secret War. All right, Ian, where do you want to start? And you can do it in order of release or just the things that Ian wants to look for or what's interesting. And I'm going to ask you, like, having seen the Wakanda Forever trailer, and it was a pretty awesome. It's actually an incredible trailer. What did you think about the shift to make that the ending of Phase 4 instead of the Fantastic Four movie? Because obviously the Fantastic Four movie is having trouble getting them off. It just needed a shift.
Yeah, that definitely had a shift. I mean, look, let me start off saying that, you know, I know I personally have felt, thinking about Comic-Con and coming down here on the long lines and everything, what do you get for it? Because so much of the content ends up online. But I'll tell you, Marvel still pays it off. They give you a lot. They started off with a retrospective video that I hope they release at Stan Lee narrating and just showing, like, everything that came before, which is absolutely incredible. You know, Then they start with the announcement. I mean, they gave us, like, what the Phase 4 was. They got into Phase 5. So, to your question, look, you know, Phase 4 is really dragged on. I mean, we've definitely had a lot of opinions about, you know, the quality of it. But no matter what your opinion is, it's a lot of hours. So, it was probably time, and I think it's a clean break to end it with this calendar year. You know? The big question becomes, with the big announcement that this is the Multiverse Saga, is okay, the next phase of that.
Yeah, the next phase is a Multiverse Saga. But what did you think? It seems that the trailer confirms that T'Challa's gone. It seems like there's a funeral sequence in the trailer.
In fact, beyond the seeming, they've actually released a synopsis of the movie. T'Challa is dead. You know, it's implied in the trailer. I mentioned that trailer is, you know, available for people to see, you know, that the queen, you know, references having lost her family. No, T'Challa's dead. They're in mourning for him. It's not clear if we're going to if some of the events of the movie affect that. I think it'd be really interesting, since we can see from the trailer this is a war between the Wakandans and Atlanteans, if we actually find out that the Atlanteans did something to kill him, because that would definitely, you know, raise the ire of the Wakandans. Tricky, though, if they go that route, because now it definitely paints the Atlanteans as villains. But that's definitely something I'm wondering.
And Namor is a villain in the comics in some versions. I mean, and he does look after his country. Jason Inman was here yesterday, and he said he's heard that Doom's in the movie, too. Have you heard this rumor that Doom's in the movie, which actually sets up a movie about nations? And if Doom only has to be in the movie a little bit to set up the Latverian nation, but we definitely have the Atlantean and the Wakandan nations at war. But that's a kind of interesting to be like, okay, now we're starting to see the geopolitical versions of what's going on here, which we haven't gotten a whole lot since the Subkarians had an island land on their heads.
My guess is we'll get Doom in the closing credits. He'll be in the tag.
And that gives us a year, 2023, where it starts with the beginning of the multiverse saga, and that is Quantumania. Did you see any of that? Because I really want to ask you about what comes next in the calendar, which is Secret Invasion. What about Quantumania real quick?
Well, all right, so I want to talk about that, but let me just say what I was saying about Doom. So you need to bear in mind, so Dr. Doom is a classic Fantastic Four villain. Black Panther was actually first introduced in Fantastic Four number 53. So, you know, it's actually a really interesting idea. I think that we're going to get Doom in the closing credits, you know, as a tag, which is going to not pay off until Fantastic Four. I would love if they seeded Doom the same way they seeded Thanos, and we had him maybe in a bunch of closing credits, a lot of things. I don't know that it'll be that, but I do think that that's how they're going to do that. Quantumania also, they showed a bunch of footage. It looks amazing, looks so fun, and this is where we really get Kang. So I think the idea of doing Quantumania as the start of Phase 5, because that's really where this multiverse saga is really going to be picking up, to actually get Kang. You know, the version, the variant that we got in Loki, He Who Remains, is definitely not Kang. Okay, so I think that's what we need. We need this multiverse saga, as they put it, to get exciting. You know, because I think it's dragging.
And the Kang that you saw in the footage is fucking ruthless, merciless, multiverse conquering Kang.
Well, not only did we see him in the footage, but the actor actually came out. And his comment was, oh, there will be conquering.
That's awesome. Now, talk to me about Secret Invasion, because that's the next one that comes up, I think, in the calendar on Disney Plus. But you also saw a lot of Nick Fury in that the footage, right?
So yeah, we got Secret Invasion. We got Nick Fury. We actually saw that basically Nick Fury is called back to Earth. He sort of beams in, and Maria Hill's kind of like, oh, so what made you? Now you're coming back. The implication is what's going on here is so big and important that he had to come back for it. A lot of Skrulls. It looks really cool. It looks really dark.
Did we see a hint of a Skrull in the She-Hulk trailer? Because it looked like somebody is shifting out of one form to another in the She-Hulk trailer. But one thing that we definitely saw was the lead up to the man with, you know, the Born Again announcement with Daredevil. There's two shots of Daredevil in that She-Hulk trailer. The She-Hulk trailer is much stronger than what we got originally. Not a pun. But I thought I saw a shapeshifter. I might be wrong. I think I might have seen it in the Wakanda Forever trailer. We definitely saw an Ironheart get busted out in the Wakanda Forever trailer. But it really, talk to me about Secret Invasion.
She was also on the panel.
She-Hulk was on the panel as well?
So basically every single one of these had a panel. Like basically the Marvel panel was like an amalgamation of a bunch of panels. They'll just keep bringing like cast out for each project. So, I mean, it was really cool. You know, and by the way, talking about Black Panther, like, so Namor, Atuma.
Wait, Atuma's in the movie? Is that who's getting lowered into that giant jaw thing that, like, you see in the trailer? Because I thought that was Namor with, like, a really kind of, like, Quetzalcoatl, like, Mayan, Incan influence. That was really fucking cool to see in the Atlanteans.
I didn't see Atuma in the trailer, but the actor was actually there. It's a really big guy. So that's exciting. So like I said Atuma. Some people are like, what's Atuma? I'm like, no, dude, it's really cool that Atuma's in it.
Yeah, you see Namor, and there's an almost Aztec feel to Namor in the trailer, and I fucking love that shot of him being lowered into like a throne room that has like a whale jaw behind it and all that. So that was epic.
And you caught the birth thing, which is Namor's birth, and you see the wings on the feet, so which is really cool. Listen, I mean, I was worried about the Black Panther movie. I'm actually pretty excited for that. I mean, it looks absolutely beautiful. Again, we were talking about Secret Invasion. I mean, it looks amazing. It looks dark. It looks, you know, exciting. I mean, I think you and I both have been of the opinion the shows have really been paying off. Quantumania looks, you know, fun and great. And Guardians. Guardians looks so good.
They show, how much Guardians footage did they show?
A bunch.
Where's that holiday special?
You know what's interesting? They didn't mention the holiday special. I need to go look closer. I think I took a screen grab of the Phase 4 to see if that's actually in there.
It's not in there, nor is Armor Wars, but I figured that Armor Wars needs Ironheart to come out in order to introduce more armors.
I have more. Rhodey is all over Secret Invasion. He's in the footage. It's actually a big thing where they come in and they act like he has guards, because I think they may be pushing him like Senate or something like that is where they're going with him. So he has all these guards, and then they come in, and I think there's an implication like maybe the guards were Skrulls. So, like, there's some serious stuff going on there with Rhodey. So I think that Secret Invasion has to happen before they even set up Armor Wars.
Right. And obviously, like, Riri Williams is probably going to be a big part of Armor Wars. She's the only real armored anything right now, except Rhodey. Then we need to introduce her. And it sounds like she gets introduced in Wakanda Forever. Yes. At least she gets a pretty badass shot in there of the Iron Heart. All right, let's jump to the tent poles of Phase 6. I mean, obviously, Born Again, you're so pumped to have Daredevil back. But Phase 6, late 2024, we're going to get Fantastic Four. And then the May tent pole is that Avengers movie, The Kang.
Two movies.
Yeah, there's two movies. In May, you're going to end up getting the Kang saga. And then you're going to get Secret Wars in that November, December slot 6 months later. Dude, what do you know about that? I guess they're going to announce the Fantastic Four cast at D23. I thought they were going to announce it yesterday. I'd heard they were going to announce it yesterday. What's the story there?
Yeah, I think they're holding that back. It definitely left a lot of things to still be announced for Phase 6, whether it be D23 or later. And I think the big thing, so yes, the Fantastic Four cast, and we've talked a lot of times about our speculation on that. And then, of course, the biggest thing is mutants. You know, they dropped the word in Ms. Marvel, so it's coming. You know, it's a little annoying because 3 years ago he said it. You know, so I really think this just becomes about the politics about D23. We should have gotten that yesterday, but we're going to get it very soon.
Yeah, so it seems like in only naming the three big tentpole films of Phase 6, there's lots of room in it to put Armor Wars back in the schedule. Who knows where that Guardians of the Galaxy holiday special is going to land, but there's room in there for the peppering of mutants in there. Maybe they're introduced in both the combination of some of those films and Disney Plus shows. There's a lot of latitude. We know almost nothing about Phase 6. We know almost everything about Phase 5.
Yeah, the Guardians special is really odd because I really believe that special was meant to be before the movie. And the fact they haven't said anything about it, I mean, it'd be really odd if it just drops in 4 months.
Yeah. Galaxy, yeah, the third movie is coming out as a tentpole in May. I thought we were going to get a holiday special for this holiday. There's another one that's big. The fourth Captain America movie, was there footage for it? Let's stand up. Matt has to get to the T-shirt, so we're standing up and continuing to record. So, Ian, was there footage for Captain America 4?
There was not. They're just the announcement of the title.
Okay. Any speculation on what that could be?
Honestly, don't know yet. I know personally, I've been hoping with the multiverse that they would have introduced Hydra Cap somewhere, and then they'd bring that in.
I actually mentioned that on the show last night. I was like, maybe you get Ian's beloved Hydra Cap still.
I just think, listen, I love Sam Wilson as Captain America. I think it's really cool. It's really fun. It's great as a show. I'm really worried that, there isn't a major Sam Wilson plot line outside of what they did in the show that is like, oh, this is the definitive movie, unless you actually put him against a bad version of Steve. You know? So, I mean, we'll see. I'm hopeful.
Well, Thunderbolts also went from what I thought was going to be a Disney Plus show to a film. That could be the Thunderbolts film and the whole fact that they have, that version of Cap in it, probably the Baron Zemo in it. That only comes out like six, seven. It only comes out about 10 weeks after Captain America 4. So you get the Sam Wilson Captain America movie, and then you get Thunderbolts just a few months later. It seems like those are paired.
Oh, I definitely think that there's going to be some connective tissue between them. And the same way, you've had, I think that the Falcon Winter Soldier was probably the biggest setup that we've seen for Thunderbolts. You know, a couple of the other projects, you know, End of Black Widow, for instance, which sort of led into Hawkeye. So we definitely see Yelena as part of that. You know, I suspect with She-Hulk, we're going to see something go on at the end with the Abomination. You know, I think that there's a bunch of connective tissue that's being lined up. But I do agree with you. I think that probably something big will happen in Captain America that will very strongly lead into that. And I think that the springboard from Thunderbolts will be leading to Sam saying we have to reform the Avengers. You know, I mean, you got to ask yourself, what's a Thunderbolts movie? Who are they dealing with? Is Thunderbolts going to really be the bad guys trying to do good and we're not seeing an actual Avengers team? And if they do go that route and see them, maybe see them fuck up, then I think that leads to probably maybe in a tag, you get something like, we need the real Avengers.
And the basis for that we're going to see in the spring with Secret Invasion, because Thunderbolts is going to come out of that. Yelena is going to have to go into action. The organizer of the Thunderbolts that we've seen in all the different tags. Just call her Elaine from Seinfeld. We're going to see Elaine from Seinfeld. We're going to see her, Elaine from Seinfeld, putting that team together at the end of Secret Invasion when everything kind of goes up topsy-turvy. Okay, Ian, that's what we got from Ian's analysis of the Marvel. You can't ask for a better analysis than this man right here. I'm glad you made it, dude. We also talked about how you raced out of here to get to the Marvel panel. We're glad you made it because you gave us this analysis. I love you, man. Thank you so much for coming on the show. I hope you're enjoying Comic-Con.
Yeah, my pleasure. No, it's been fun. Good con.
Love you, dude. Geekscape is back in the booth with Josh Jackson, our Geekscape Games correspondent who lives and breathes video games and anime. Wouldn't you just say that you're not just limited to video games, but for sure, Danganronpa! I gotta bring it back.
I'm glad I'm not the only one who's into it now, but yeah, a little bit of everything, but especially games, I think.
But Danganronpa was something that was just a geek. Like, how many people knew about Danganronpa here at Comic-Con when I was running around the streets years ago yelling, Danganronpa!
After that, I think everybody did.
I got to tell you, man, whether Shane is on the show or not, Derek is a bit self-conscious about Geekscape Games because he's like, well, Shane brings the energy. Shane is definitely a chaos agent, a.k.a. Edgelord. But I think that anytime you're on the show, just giving your opinion and your hilarious commentary, I think that it's a great episode. I mean, Derek is clean. He's an awesome host. Shane, again, is a chaos agent. Carlos has enthusiasm and a taco truck running around the neighborhood. But Josh, your episodes are not... Geekscape is, if you're looking for video game content and you want to try Geekscape Games, circle the episodes that Josh appears on, because I think he is so damn funny and he says things just almost under his breath that have me crying laughing to this guy. Dude, your commentary is amazing. I'm so glad you're part of the Geekscape team.
Dude, I'm so happy to be part of it. And I think it just sounds like I'm under my breath because my mic sucks. But I don't know. It's just, there's just so much to talk about. There's so much great content coming out. And it's just such a blast to talk about it with Derek, Shane, Carlos, whoever's on. And whatever chance I can get to talk more about the things that I love is an excellent opportunity, I think.
Even if you're talking about missing your bus or your bus being late, that's a fucking funny story, and you make it funny. You don't even have to be talking about games. You just have a very funny view of everything. That being said, what's been going on here at Comic-Con? What have you experienced? I'm guessing you've given some time to the Marriott or wherever they have some of the video game installations. Have you seen El Chucho running around? Really, what have you been playing?
I missed El Chucho, but the big thing that I was looking forward to checking out once I got here was they had the Street Fighter VI demo up, which I'm not sure if it's the very first time, but one of the first times that it's playable outside of like closed demos. So that was like my top priority. The first thing I did when I walked into the main hall was head straight down there, and it did not disappoint. I loved it so much once I got used to the new mechanics and how the game worked and everything. It took a while, but...
How many episodes do you have to download to get the full game?
Well, the cool thing about this one is they seem to have learned from the disaster that Street Fighter V was. So there's a real conscious effort to have like a full, complete game, including a whole story mode with a single player content of a massive roster with a mix of old and new characters. So far, it's on the right track. And they've been not exactly experimental, but they've combined a lot of mechanics from old games into this big one, big kind of overhaul of how the game plays, and it's just really exciting.
Okay, so what are the major differences that you're like, besides just the DLC and not being, you know, DLC'd to death for a full game, what are some of the mechanics that you think are different? Are there additional characters? What's a charge character, really, is what I'm asking. I'm kidding, that's an inside joke for Geekscape Games.
Well, there's two popular mechanics from older games. Street Fighter 3 had a parry mechanic where if you tap the stick right when you got hit, you could void their damage, essentially. And then in Street Fighter 4, there was a mechanic called a focus attack where you could absorb one attack and launch a counterattack immediately after. So this one kind of has both. So you have a separate dedicated meter. One set of buttons will parry a certain amount of times, but you can only do it for a limited amount of time. The other one is like the focus attack where it absorbs one attack and launches a counterattack, but instead of holding the buttons down, it's just like one move. So you have to get the timing down pretty, you have to get it down pretty accurately in order for it to work as intended. But once you do, it's almost like Street Fighter Splatoon. It's nuts. Like once you hit the counterattack just right, like this watercolor paint that's the same color as your character kind of flies across the stage. And it's just such a over-the-top, flashy animation. But it's also super rewarding because the game slows down. It freezes a little bit. You watch your opponent crumple, and then at that point you could kind of just unleash whatever combo that you want. So there's like two different versions of defense now, essentially, which is kind of refreshing because Street Fighter, not as much as some games, but Street Fighter tends to be really offense-focused, especially 5. So the more defense options you have, the better.
And beyond Street Fighter, what else you've been rocking here, walking around seeing? Did you see like the 16-foot Bowser or whatever it was? It was a giant Lego Bowser, is that right?
Yeah, there was this giant Lego Bowser that I was surprised it's like robotic or something, but it was moving. So people were taking pictures in front of that. Every once in a while he'd pick his head up and roar or like wave his hands around. It's right next to the Capcom booth all the way in like the 200 section on the opposite side of where we're at right now. That was on display. Blizzard had the new like Reinhardt statues on display and that kind of thing. As far as stuff from the outside, we went by the Dragon Ball the display yesterday. They had like the giant transformed Vegeta, the giant ape version, which looked awesome. A lot of promotion for the new Dragon Ball movie that's coming out soon, which is really exciting, kind of more into the anime side of things. But yeah, those are kind of the big things. Nintendo had an installation this year again, but all the games they had on display were games that were out already, so we didn't bother.
Yeah, it sounds like Nintendo has that issue going on, and they're stuck in a place between whatever the next system is and clearing through some of their first-party games. It seems like Nintendo has a lot of the indie side going on to kind of keep things populated. Would you agree with that?
Definitely been the case the last couple months. I think this past week is where it's kind of ramping up again. Live Alive just came out this week, which is a full remake of a Super Nintendo game, but that game never came out here, so it might as well be a brand new game for us. Xenoblade Chronicles 3 comes out next week, which is just going to be a massive game and kind of fitting the theme of like a lot of the Marvel announcements and everything this week. This one is essentially like a multiverse story that's combining the first two games are mostly standalone. This one's combining part one and two to make one big combined universe. So that's exciting. But yeah, outside of that, then we got Splatoon in September, Bayonetta in October, I think. So right now the drought's kind of lifting for sure.
And the Bayonetta is a Bayonetta 3. But you're not going to be able to access 1 and 2, are you? Are they doing a reissue of any of that stuff? Because it seems like those are games that haven't been printed in a while.
I think they did say they're reprinting Bayonetta 1. Part 2 I don't think is getting reprinted, but they did release it a few years ago, if I remember correctly.
I didn't play it because I didn't play Bayonetta 1 at that point. So I was like, got to start from the beginning, and now I got to hopscotch the freaking thing. Get the first one with this release, whip a bunch of people in my hair, and then wait a couple years for 2, but probably have 3 stashed as well. That's the strategy I was implementing with a couple different games, Last of Us 2 being one of them, where I was waiting for that 1 to get the treatment before I could play 2, which I'd already been sitting on. And then in that meantime, I went ahead and finished God of War and Ghosts of Tsushima, which it seems like nobody on the podcast had finished either of those games. And I couldn't believe, when I was hearing Derek and Carlos say that they finally finished God of War years after I had it, I was disappointed, but I knew Josh wouldn't have let me down. You finished that game a long time ago.
Yeah, I finished God of War. It was as someone who wasn't a huge fan of the original God of Wars, I thought that game was excellent. I haven't played Ghost of Tsushima yet, though. I bought it like 2 years ago now, and asked me how far I played into it. I think I did the tutorial and was like, oh, that was cool. And then moved on. But
it's very dense, and I enjoyed it because it felt like a Rocksteady game. It definitely felt like one of those open world games, and it felt like a more manageable version of what I wanted with Red Dead 2, where Red Dead 2's map is just too big, and the story goes on for too long that you play it in like clusters of months, and when you start picking it up again, when you pick it up again, you're like, I forgot the mechanics. I forgot the storylines. I forgot who this character is that's over here on the map and why I need to go over there. And Ghost of Tsushima just felt more compact, and it was a beautiful game. All right, Josh, I'm going to let you get to it. We'll see you back in L.A. We'll hear you back on a future Geekscape Games. And, just drop in and let us know what's going down, because we love hearing your voice, man, like I said at the beginning.
Appreciate it. Thank you so much for having me. I'm looking forward to experiencing the rest of the con, and thank you so much for bringing me down.
Dude. And I walked past that GameStop where we met back in the day, and it is so gone. That entire place looks like freaking bombed out.
It's like a nail salon now, isn't it?
The whole thing just looks sad. Hollywood is dead. It's pretty scary.
I think most of the places that we would always go to around here in downtown San Diego, like the last time we've been here, obviously, 3 years ago, and a lot of the places that we used to go to all the time are all closed or something else now, so it's kind of weird to get adjusted to.
We got to figure out how to do what we're going to change for 2023. Love you, man. It's good talking to you.
Yeah, love you too, man. Thank you.
Geekscapists, it is the final day of Comic-Con, as I've said before on this episode, and we are in the booth with Heidi Cox. Introduce yourself to the Geekscapists. How do we know you?
Who is that? How do you know me? Well, we're going to get married.
There is that, yeah. You're an exhibitor here. How has exhibiting been at the con? Heidi has an exhibitor badge. Is this just perks of the gig of being my fiancé, or have you been selling shirts left and right?
I sold some shirts yesterday during my quote-unquote signing or like come by, say hi time. But no, I think it is a perk. Thank you very much. Usually I have like a panelist badge, and I didn't this year, and there was no panel, and I'm okay with that. But thank you for my badge.
It's interesting because Burke and Matt, who we've talked about a lot, and they had the Lost in Space panel, they actually got our friends Jay and Parker panelist badges because usually they buy their badges every year, but they offered to. So we could have gotten you a badge through Burke and Matt, who we love. But I don't know what I would have done with that exhibitor badge, because honestly, ramping back up at Comic-Con, if there's a theme this year, it's like getting the rust off. It's like shaking the rust off, because it's not just the con, and the con really, like, a lot of stuff was pushed to later in the calendar than when it usually is for getting up and going with things like room reservations and putting in some of your applications for... There's forms that you have to put into, you know, like height and variance stuff. The booth stuff is very boring. Very boring business stuff. But we ourselves were having trouble getting up and going with con. We didn't know, like, who was going to be able to come. We got Matt, Derek, and here, but not Guy and Shane. And so I had these exhibitor badges and was like, well, Heidi can get one, because I don't think anybody beyond Matt and I really is going to be exhibiting at the booth, because usually Guy definitely gets a badge, but he's stuck in Brazil. So you are an exhibitor, and yes, I got to tell you, we've sold more shirts this year than ever. The Don't Hate Create shirts are flying. Matt's almost out of one or two designs of the Horror Movie Night shirt, and very popular is the Wyvern shirt as well. So, and also the Geekscape Forever shirt. So Geekscape is a good year, but we're stuck here. Let's talk to Heidi about what she's walked around and seen and who she's met.
Oh, yeah. So I met Danny Bowman, who I feel like that microphone is so...
It is not a good microphone. You almost have to eat this microphone to get it.
I just had a soda.
The nice mics stayed in L.A. The beat them up and throw them into the bag and get them on the floor. Mic is what we have, so you almost have to eat it.
I'll try to be louder too.
And what's funny is Bruce Campbell yanked this mic away from his face. Like I was like doing what I'm doing right now, and Bruce was like, "Hey man, can you get that a little further away from my face?"
No, that's how I felt too. I'm like, I keep moving my head away. But I met Jenny Bowman, who she's this really amazing young woman who started a production company called Dannymation when she was like, I think 14 years old. She was recently on the most recent. She was on the latest season of Love on the Spectrum. And she's very much like an advocate for people on the autism spectrum. I work with that population as one of my jobs. And so I just thought she was amazing because she really loves animation, and she has a school for people who are on the spectrum that want to learn about animation. And we were walking by your friend's booth, and I got
Eric Dean Seton, who is coming on the show very soon. He's a TV director and has his own show. He's done little clips on the way time ago, or Comic-Con's past.
But I got to the booth before you because I think you were still talking to the Dillons.
Fan base press, yeah.
Yeah, not the dyad because the babies weren't there. But I spotted Danny before I spotted anyone else there. And I was like, oh my goodness, I'm such a huge fan. I think you're amazing. And she and I, like, we had a nice conversation about filmmaking and women making films. And she has a short film that was playing today that... was during, I think, a children's film festival that Comic-Con was doing. So she's my most favorite person that I met. I'm very excited to have met her.
I walked over and was like, who is this longtime friend of Heidi's that's at Eric? Oh, it's Eric Dean Seton's booth. And I wanted to talk to Eric for a bit. He's been directing episodes of Superman and Lois. And so he's just a hot shot director. He's so great. He's like my hero. He's out here promoting his comics. He gets to direct TV. He does some really great stuff. And you are, like, hanging out. And I honestly thought it was somebody from L.A. who you've known for years from our circle. And then I realized it's the person you've been tweeting with who you've never met in person but have been tweeting with. That's amazing.
A little bit we've been tweeting with. I just thought she was amazing. I knew she loved Comic-Con, and I was hoping to meet her. And she wasn't even at, like, her booth. I just happened to walk by her. So it was kind of a really cool treat for me. I was very excited because I'm always down to help support women filmmakers and non-binary filmmakers, you know, because I'm part of, obviously Dweeb Darlings does that, but I'm also part of the Chimera Project, which we champion all that as well, and sometimes even offer funds to filmmakers. So I was really excited to meet her.
Here at the booth, we've been offering Chimera Project stickers, and I got to tell you, you got to stock more of those because those went very fast. Also, a few people have been picking up on your Stalking LeVar postcards. There's one Chasing Fletcher Allen, one left. And, we got a couple. No, we don't have a lot of postcards left. You know, you got to bring new stuff.
There's more.
You got to bring some fresh stuff next year, Heidi.
When Stephanie made these, she made a lot. And there are so many. Is that right? Is that correct grammar? I'm so tired.
This is not a visual medium. You have to tell them that you're holding postcards. Please. Heidi, please.
I'm looking at them right now. This is just a small stack. There's still a huge stack underneath the table because she ordered a ton back in, like, when was that? 2016 or something? And, you know, we weren't here the past two years at it. Well, 2019. And then, obviously, during the pandemic, there was nothing, so we still have a lot of those. But yeah, that was cool to come back to the booth and see that all the stickers were gone. I think people really like the you got this. I don't know if it's a motto, but it's
a catchphrase. It's like it is a motto. Like, our motto is you got this. Like, yeah. Let's go.
Yeah, so like in that, I'm an ambassador. I'm the chair of the ambassador program of the Chimera Project. And what we do is we do diplomacy. Like, we go out and we support these filmmakers. Sometimes we attend events. We give them these stickers that say you got this because we want these filmmakers to have confidence and know that, like, there are people that are championing them, that have their back, and we believe in them. And so I think people walked by and saw that, and I hope that they go to the site and check it out. I mean, we have the QR code too for people to sign up for the mailing list. I feel like the stickers did a better job though, so hopefully.
Is there a group like that for middle-aged dudes like myself?
Probably.
That's just called that's just called the industry how it's been for a long time.
Isn't that called the patriarchy?
The patriarchy. All right. I mean, what's the most fun thing that you've done since being at Comic-Con? Like, if somebody's not here, what's the thing that's like, oh, you missed out on this cool thing?
The most fun thing that I missed out on?
No, that somebody who's not here missed out on that you experienced.
That's a great question. I you know what? I didn't have the patience to wait in any of the lines of the activations that I really wanted to do.
You went on a ride last night and didn't have to wait in line.
That's right. Well, yeah, because the Seaport Village behind the Hyatt is a very special place for us. And I love carousels, so Jonathan took me on the carousel. And we had our dinner back there, and it was really lovely.
There's a little Comic-Con hack for when you do make it to San Diego, Geekscapists. The Seaport Village behind the Hyatt has all sorts of little restaurants in there, and it's usually just locals back there, not con goers. They don't discover it. They go towards the gas lamp and the parties and the restaurants that are flashy, and it gets really crowded. You're gonna have two hour waits for restaurants in the gas lamp. But if you just sneak behind the hotels and you make your way down to Seaport Village behind the Hyatt, where lots of these people are staying, you'll find a really secret little spot with tons of little restaurants, and there's a carousel that was, I think, built in like 1885, it said?
I think it was 1885 or 1895, something like that. It was, yeah, it was really cool. So I was imagining these cowboys on the...
Yeah, I think there were more seafaring people who discovered California from in that time than making the trek. It was 1885, but I just imagine people with their parasols.
The Victorian whites.
And the dudes with like their mustachios, and they're like, can I take you on the carousel?
Lady, yes. And they talk like this, like in an old, like a, yeah. With a transatlantic accent.
Listen, let me take you on the carousel. And then later, is it okay for me to ferry you in a rowboat over to the island? We can have a nice picnic. Let me take you to Coronado Island. It's very nice. It's not inhabited yet.
Not unless I am chaperoned. Might I ask my aunt to join us?
I guess. The answer. The aunt is the old school cock block. You have to be a gentleman. Okay, Geekscapists. That's Heidi Cox. We're going to post. We're going to pack up the booth here in a little bit and then ship it back to L.A. tomorrow. It's been exhausting. As I said earlier, the days have been like some up, some down, but this is Comic-Con, and it seems like every year it has similar patterns of like, oh, I don't want to be here, and oh my God, there's nowhere else I'd rather be. And I'm next to the person nowhere else I'd rather be next to.
Yeah, I feel the same. Heidi is tired, but I'm so happy to be with you.
Now Geekscape has become Thescape because people are like, oh, that's just too mushy.
Or maybe they're like, oh, that's nice to hear. Maybe they think that's nice.
Okay. Well, either way, Geekscapists, we'll be back with a little bit more from Comic-Con as we get close to the doors closing. Eric is going to get in on this. Geekscapists, we are at the very end of San Diego Comic-Con 2022. This is the end of day 5. We've stitched together all the interviews every single day, and we stitched together today, and we've had some amazing times. We had our good friends drop by. From Clerks 3 coming up in the fall, we got Brian O'Halloran, Marilyn Gigliotti, they were here. Eric Francisco, former Geekscapist, always a Geekscapist. Eric Francisco, Derek Cranneveld holding down the fort with all the installations going on outside the park. We got Matt Kelly holding down the fort inside, selling t-shirts like they're hotcakes. And we've made some good friends, we've seen some old friends, but it's coming to an end. Like all good things. Matt, stand up here. I'm not going to go back and forth with the microphone. Right. Well, you tell me, Geekscapists, you're going to hear them close the floor here in a couple of minutes.
In about three minutes and 25 seconds,
the floor is going to go, that's it. Congratulations on our new Comic-Con, whatever they're going to say. Yeah. Okay, Matt, what is the most memorable moment from Comic-Con 2022?
Just spending time with friends, right? Or no, actually, the real one is Derek and I door dashing wings to the hotel room and then immediately realizing that it is way too late to eat wings and then still eating the wings and having a miserable night trying to sleep with, like, barbecue wings in our bellies at midnight.
I fucking came in after y'all had eaten that. I thought Zool was under the covers. I was like, what is that? Are you the key master? I was like, what is growling at me? And it was you guys digesting like hot sauce wings.
Yeah.
Worth it. No, it was not.
Hot honey. We got some hot honey wings.
It was tasty. I just remember Matt, it was like 3 a.m. I like woke up groggily and he just like it was like in like one frame, he's like from laying down to like running to the bathroom, like
damn enchiladas.
Damn enchiladas moment.
All right, Eric Francisco, you've been experiencing things, interviewing people, having quite the con. Let's talk to you.
All right. My favorite thing was seeing just how many millions Amazon spent for Lord of the Rings. Okay, like first and foremost, they shook Hall H. Everyone in Hall H had like their faces blasted with like smoke and fire.
Are you serious?
Barry McCreary gave a live performance. This is public now, but like Amazon threw like a really swanky party for like press and influencers. It basically was, imagine a fancy wedding reception in Numenor without a wedding and a DJ. They just threw a really nice dinner. It was great. It was awesome. It was, I was wined and dined. It was wonderful.
Why wasn't Derek there? If you're talking influencers and press, Derek, why did you drop the ball at that?
I write for Geekscape, so no one knows who I am.
It's kind of like the indie stuff. I knew Geekscape back when it was on vinyl, before it was on the radio and really hip. So I knew it with Matt Kelly before he was fired and eaten by bees and carried off by bees and dropped to the Pacific Ocean.
I'm still here.
You're here for now. We're still indie. We're still forgettable. We're still skippable. But I'm glad y'all are listening, Geekscapists, because it's because of you that maybe one day Derek can eat better at an Amazon Studios party, like Eric Francisco, who big time does and went to Inverse, and you know what I'm talking about.
I dislike it when you call me big time because it makes me feel smaller. So
no, Eric, no, Eric, that was not my intentions. No, okay. Other memories of the week, Eric. What were the low points when Jonathan called you big timer?
I mean, I'm not going to name press rooms or anything like that, but like some press rooms were poorly organized, and that was really annoying. You know, when you're
here you go. Did you hear that, Geekscapists? The floor is officially closed. Comic-Con 2022 is over, which means Heidi's standing outside the Comic-Con doors being like, hey, are we going to get dinner or what? You promised me dinner at 5 o'clock. It's 5:01. What are you doing right now? Geekscapers, that was the end of Comic-Con, but Eric had a few last thoughts about the press rooms being, some of them being messy, but you know what? That's what they're going to correct for 2023 when
exactly.
we come back.
Exactly. At least we hope so, you know?
Eric, will you be back for Comic-Con 2023?
You know what?
Maybe writing for the New York Times or something bigger.
You know what? It is going to be my life's goal to make it back to Comic-Con 2023. Maybe, who knows who I'll be writing for then? Still Inverse, maybe? But, you know, it's a long year, so we'll see what happens.
Well, if you're writing for Geekscape again, it's been a really long year. And Matt, you'll be back.
Yeah, no, I ain't going anywhere.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt. But, like, did you guys record a podcast in 2019?
Yeah. Yeah, we recorded a 2019 podcast.
Did you say that you'd hope you would be back for 2020?
Yeah, absolutely. We caused the pandemic. We jinxed it.
What I'm just saying is that you never know what's going to happen in a year from now. That's all I get.
And it was the last
Eric
time they were. Eric starts
like,
fading away.
Geekscape. I'm back with Geekscape, baby.
We're going to give Eric like the fucking, what's it called? The movie where the kids start fading away at the end.
Back to the future?
Back to the future. Stand by me. Eric's going to start walking away and just be like, it was the last time they were ever together. There was no Comic-Con 2023.
And killed in Vietnam.
Eric was drafted and killed in Vietnam. Geekscapists, I want to thank you. What?
He didn't.
Derek, what was the low point for you? I'm not telling him. We stayed with him. I'm not having him admit a low point. Are you out of your mind? He's going to talk shit.
My low point, I'm just going to say it anyway. My low point, I came in with the goal of buying a Hellfire Club t-shirt because they're not for sale anywhere in Canada. And not only did I not get one of those, I lost my wallet today. So.
No! 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 Derek, you could have just ripped the Hellfire Club t-shirts off of every other person in this room walking through it. I saw so many of them and Moon Knights. Surprisingly, a lot of Moon Knights.
But you admit it, you haven't checked any of the Hot Topics in Canada yet.
All two of them? No, I have not.
Yeah. Okay.
Or just cross the bridge to Seattle to go to Target.
It's a little bit further than that, but I could.
Okay. Well, anybody in Seattle who wants to attach a Hellfire Club t-shirt to a rock and throw it across over to Canada for Derek, you go ahead and let us know.
I'll meet you at Peace Arch Park, and I can bring you Canadian snacks.
Those people are doing some smuggling. Okay. All right. Geekscapists, that's it for us. on San Diego Comic Con 2022. We'll see you in, well, you'll see me later this week when I start posting more Geekscapes and flooding your feeds. So share it with your friends, hit those 5 stars, leave a comment, subscribe.
You're listening to the Geekscape Network.